My next guest is Billy Collins, a major figure in the world of poetry. He gains new readers with every best-selling book, and he's received some of the highest honors in American letters, including serving as the United States Poet Laureate for 2 terms. His style is friendly and easily accessible, yet full of surprises and humor. Billy will be a guest of honor at the U of A's Poetry Center during this weekend's Festival of Books. He'll be giving a reading on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I had a chance to talk to Billy Collins about his poetry, his influences, and Daffy Duck. Welcome, Billy Collins. Thanks so much for joining me on Arizona Spotlight.
Well, you're very welcome. It's good to be here with you.
Have you been to Tucson before?
I have quite a few times, actually. I've been down most recently to the opening of the amazing Poetry Center at the university, which is, I think, the largest and certainly most beautiful freestanding building in the country and maybe the world that's devoted exclusively to poetry. And I come down for recreational purposes, too, sometimes to Tucson.
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask, is what brings you back?
Well, the book festival, basically. I also drift down to a little place called Tubac, south of you, to hit this little white ball around occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
But you shouldn't tell any of my readers that. I don't think golf and poetry go together in their minds. But
No, you shouldn't let them know which poems you wrote in the clubhouse.
I know. John Updike is one of the few authors who was probably the first one to come out of the golf closet and admit that he had a weakness for golf.
The book festival is really great. This is Tucson's first attempt to gather together so many readers in one place. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, a book fest, I'm in favor of them, I guess. I'm against murder and for book fairs. It seems like an unambiguously good thing to do. I know the book fair I know best is the one in Washington, D.C. You know, Laura Bush had the Book Festival of Texas when her husband was governor. And then when he became president, she kind of moved that to Washington, and it became a kind of national book fair, rather elaborate. And I attended that a few times. But I don't know. It's very interesting. I mean, reading is obviously a solitary activity, and it's something that people actually do with their solitude. And I think reading is seeking a kind of solitude. And yet there are these social and public events like poetry and fiction readings and even on a larger scale book fairs where everyone's solitude is kind of brought together into a crowd. So you have... you have a solitude multiplied by thousands.
I believe you'll be doing a reading during the book festival for a crowd. How do you feel about doing that, taking your solitary craft of writing and then turning it outwards?
Yeah, it's a very, very different experience from the act of composition, which is, again, one of the most private things you can do. And one of the reasons I was attracted to poetry is that it was something that you did with your solitude. I mean, kind of going back to... the solitude that I enjoyed and children at least used to enjoy, you know, before endless media stimulation. So when I'm writing, when I'm composing a poem, the last thing I'm thinking about is a crowd of people. I'm thinking of one other person, kind of an imaginary friend, reader who is going to consume this poem under the same kind of similar circumstances under which I wrote it. That is, alone in a quiet room somewhere, turning the pages. And so there's that spectacle side to literature these days, which is the public performance of it, which I enjoy, but it is an extremely different experience and probably draws on a different area of the brain and involves a whole different set of brain cells.
Does it teach you things about your poetry, like sometimes a line will get a laugh that you didn't necessarily intend to be funny?
Well, it's true. With laughter, it's interesting because in some of my poems, I'm really trying to ride this middle line between seriousness and humor so that I'm kind of riding this wobbly bicycle that doesn't want to drift into morbidity or into clownishness. So I'm trying to be serious and funny simultaneously. I'm usually falling to one side or the other, but my goal is kind of to strike this ironic middle line. So it's often surprising when an audience laughs at something I didn't think was very funny, and then you get different reactions. Not that I change anything because of the way the audience reacts, but sometimes audience reactions are surprising.
Sometimes you attribute certain characteristics to inanimate objects. You observe the place that they occupy in our lives and elaborate on that. In your own life, do you subscribe to any kind of superstitious thinking? I mean, do you build up relationships with your toaster in a sense?
You know, it's probably from watching too many cartoons as a child that I can easily, you know, see the toaster get up and start dancing around and wiggling its cord and stuff like that, and then the salt and pepper shakers start, you know, whooping it up. So I think it's probably from watching too much animation as a kid.
Or Ernie Kovacs, perhaps.
Oh, he's a good influence, right? He's a great television pioneer. But in terms of cartoons, I mean, I was completely a Warner Brothers, a Looney Tunes, Merry Melodies guy. I was totally bored by Disney. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote an article last summer for the Wall Street Journal on how Looney Tunes cartoons had influenced my imagination and my writing. But I made the point that, you know, Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny and that crowd are—they're real mavericks. You know, they're not married for one thing. Most of the Disney characters, like, you know, Mickey and Minnie and Daisy and Donald, it's very domesticated. They have nephews and they go—you know—they go ice skating together as a family. But you couldn't picture Daffy Duck having Mrs. Duck and taking his little ducklings ice skating, for God's sake. So I like the Looney Tunes guys were kind of the wild bunch, and that's what I was addicted to. I still love watching them.
When you were serving as poet laureate for the United States, can you tell us about a place you ended up that you wouldn't have expected?
Well, I ended up having lunch with Mrs. Putin, the wife of the president of Russia. And she doesn't speak English. Well, she didn't then. Maybe she's learned it since. But so everything was translated. And I remember she said that when she found out I was a poet, she said that everyone in Russia loves poetry. And I responded by saying that everybody in America loves my poetry. But I thought I was trying to be funny, but I didn't have the right Russian sense of humor there. I don't know why that stands out, but it's just something I certainly would not have done had I not been United States Poet Laureate, was having lunch with Mrs. Vladimir Putin.
I wonder how that translated.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was the translator's fault.